That cuts both ways, you know. I mean, you think about that for a minute. I'll see what I can do to accommodate you tonight. Can't tell you what a joy it is to be here, to see you all face to face again, and what an honor it is to come and speak. We are a branch of you. We are of you, and we love you, and we feel like we're part of family and coming home to family reunion oftentimes when we come and see you all and get to hug you and talk to you again and know the day comes when we will depart this world together and meet with the Lord. And in that day, then we will see each other continually. And here's the nice thing about that. I don't know if you've given this any thought or not, but on that day, I actually won't get on your nerves. So I just want you to know you got good things coming, okay? It'll be a different me and probably a different you, too. So praise the Lord for that. And I want you to know we are having a blast over there. We are trying all sorts of new things. We've set up for ourselves some pretty ambitious goals for the coming time and year or so, and we're working very hard, and we appreciate your prayers. Amen. We appreciate the confidence you put in us and the support you send to us. We appreciate you as brothers and sisters, and we appreciate your stand on things. I want you to know that we see the things, the important things like the Word of God and the open meeting and things like that, and we value those same things, and we care about them. We are in every way a sister to you, in the way that we're brothers to you, and we love you along those lines. And I want to start tonight someplace a little bit familiar to us. I want to start, and the verses I have shared with you tonight are not unusual. You'll know them all, I think. But I really want to challenge you for some things tonight. So let's get started tonight in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And we're going to be in verses 7 through 10. Ecclesiastes 9, 7 through 10. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thine wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun, and whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open your word to us tonight as we do everything in our power to open our hearts to you. We want you to have free reign in us tonight, and we ask you to bless us, touch us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I know this might be a strange place in a way to start for a mission conference message, but I think you'll see it's very practical. He says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, you ought to do that with all your might. You ought to put your effort into something that your hand finds to do. Now, I think there's some qualifications on that, right? For instance, you know, pulling out your credit card, that's not something you should put your might into, all right? That's not what he's talking about. He's actually talking about doing something constructive, some real work that your hand would find to do. And there's a couple of things about that I think are interesting. First of all, the setting of what he's talking about here. He has just gone through a long set of exercises to determine the value of everything in life. And he has come to the conclusion that upon this earth, there just isn't anything of value. Right? You work all your life for money and strive to be financially secure and have a great life and retire well, and some idiot takes over the White House, runs the economy into the ground, and you're penniless and out there working again, you know? I know some of you guys feel that way because I've been to several of your retirement parties for the same person, right? How many times Trini has he retired? Like, what is this, four? I think four times Trini's retired now, right? And if you can pull off four retirements in one life, I think you're doing pretty good, right? But you do that, you retire, and then you realize, I don't like my company all that much. I think I'd like some other people's company. You go back out and you find something else to do for a little while, right? And what he discovered when he went around comparing all that was, well, life is vanity. And all the things that you worked for in this life aren't worth working for most of the time. They just pass away. And you build up, and you build up, and then you die, and it all goes to somebody who didn't have to do any work for it, and therefore doesn't appreciate it, and they just waste it all. Right? And so he says it's vanity. And now he's kind of drawing a few conclusions out as he goes along, and one of the conclusions he draws out is, A, while you are alive, you are in a really great position. Because while you're alive, you can do something about eternity.
Amen.
It is now when you're alive that you can make the choices for God that matter for eternity. When you die, you don't get to do that anymore. The choices that you've made in this life determine eternity for you. God has set it out to give you clear message here in this life for the next one. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you have an opportunity right now. God is calling to you. And He's doing whatever is possible within His power. And the fact that you're here tonight is pure evidence of that. Somebody invited you, or you found a message and you came into this room tonight. And you came into this room where you could hear a message from the Lord. And the message He gives you is, I want to save your soul. I want to bless you for eternity. I want to take you to heaven. I want you to respond tonight to a gospel call. And that gospel call is the call for repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. He gives you a message that says, I have paid it all for you. I have provided for your complete healing. I have provided for your complete restoration. Come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. You have that opportunity while you live. If you think that the day will come when you stand before God and you're going to work out something with Him on that day, it simply will not be the case. By the day you stand face to face with God, all the opportunity to change the course of events is now ended. And you're at the point of judgment. So while you're alive, you have opportunity. You have opportunity to respond to God and change the course of your eternal destiny.
Amen.
If you're here tonight and you're saved, you also have an opportunity while you live.
Amen.
He says, now while you live, God now accepteth thy works. Your works count for something in this world if you do those works unto the Lord. The works you do for the Lord count now in this life. And you won't get an opportunity. You can't say, you know what, I'm gonna try to get through this life as easy as I can. And then when I get to the next life, I'll work for the Lord. It doesn't work that way. If you're going to do anything for God, now is the time to do it. And God has a great message for you too. He says you can lay up for yourself treasures in heaven.
Amen.
Instead of on this earth.
Amen.
And those treasures are really worth something.
Amen.
Because they don't rust. They don't corrupt, and they're not subject to vanity like everything on this earth is subject to vanity. And so in the context of that, he says, when your hand findeth something to do, you should do it with all your might.
Right.
And there's a couple observations I'd like to bring out of that. First of all, your hand may not find the same things to do that somebody else's hand. God isn't going to give you the same opportunity He gives everybody else. And you might be able to, if you're at all good at math here tonight, then you would say, oh, that means God's not going to give everybody else the same opportunities He gives me, right? I mean, that's just a simple equation. And that's exactly the truth. God gives you an opportunity to do something for Him that is unique to you. No one else has the same circle of influence that you have. No one else has the same group of friends and co-workers that you have. You're in a unique place to touch lives. Your hand will find things to do. God will put it close at hand for you to do things for Him. I believe in world evangelism. I believe in mission work.
Amen.
We love our missionaries. We support our missionaries. I encourage everyone to support missionaries. Amen. And do a work for God. And you do a work for God. Supporting missionaries is a work. It is. It's a good thing to do with carnal money for eternity's sake. It's an investment in a ministry. You should carefully think about how you invest your time in what you do in your life, and you should carefully think about how you invest your money for spiritual things, right? We wouldn't think very much of somebody who said, you know what? I have all this money and I'm going to invest for retirement. So anybody out there got a business they want to start? I'll give you some money, right? That's just not very good thinking, right? You're going to lose almost all the money you have if you do that. What you would rather do is say, I've got some money and I want to invest it for retirement. Let me think about this really carefully and make some really wise decisions about where I invest this money so I get a really good return on that investment. And that's exactly how you should think about missions. It's an opportunity for me to do something with what God has placed in my hand.
Amen.
And I got a lot of choices I can make in this life. I'm going to make some really wise choices about what I do with this money so I get a good return on it, not only for my sake, but for the Lord's sake, I get a good return on this money. So He's given you some things that are at your hand to do. We often want to do things that are not at our hand, right? They're near somebody else's hand, right? There's something somebody else could do, but it's not in our power to do those things. We ought to do those things that are in our power to do. And if you were in the Lord's place, let me ask you what you would do. Would you ask someone to do a challenging job who can't even do the job that's at hand? Or would you pick someone to do a challenging job who knows how to do and tends to the jobs at hand, because they've proven themselves faithful? And you know the answer to that already, right? You're going to pick the one who can prove themselves faithful in the place you put them, doing the work that's at hand right now. And then you can say, okay, you've mastered that. It's time for me to move you on to doing something greater. You ought to master the things that are at hand. You ought to look at your life as though it were a challenge in the midst of a bunch of vanity where other things don't count. But the things that are laying at your hand right now are a challenge for you to master, so that you could step out and do greater things for the Lord in the future. Therefore, do the things that are at hand. Whatever's at hand that God gives you to do, you ought to do that. I thought about a couple of things, examples of this in Scripture, that I just wanted to look at tonight. Go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 12. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more over the sheep than of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of the little ones should perish. So I want you to take an example of this shepherd for a moment. Now, we all see this shepherd as a symbol of the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, a type of Him. And we see Him as seeking us out, the ones who were lost. And in fact, that is true. But He's actually not trying to give you a picture of Himself. He's trying to give you a very practical picture of the way God sees this kind of work. And if you think about it for a minute, the one He's referring to here is not a tax collector. He doesn't say, a tax collector hears about a missing sheep and therefore lays aside all of his work and goes out to find the missing sheep. Why? Because he's not a shepherd. It's not his job. That's not where he is in life. He's not saying a carpenter heard about a missing sheep, set down all of his tools, let his carpentry go aside, and then stepped out to go find that lost sheep and bring that lost sheep home. He's saying a shepherd had sheep. Well, I'm glad he did. Right? It'd be a terrible thing if a shepherd didn't have sheep. Right? What's he doing? But a shepherd had sheep. One of them got lost. He left the 99 because, why? Because he's neglectful of the majority. No, he left the 90 and 9 because they're already safe. And he went out to find the one that wasn't, because that one was lost. And the job he had to do today was to find a lost sheep. If he has to do that every day, there might be something wrong with the shepherd. You're losing a lot of sheep. But there's a lost sheep, and that's the work I have to do today, is to go out and find a lost sheep. He does what's required of him. As a shepherd, it would be neglectful to say, well, it's only one. What does that matter? And I'm bringing this out to you, and I can see some people looking at me like, not sure where you're going with this. Here's where I'm going with it. What did God give you now? You have friends who are lost. If you think, well, I don't need to witness my friends who are lost. Somebody else here will. They got plenty of opportunity to hear the gospel. I'll go somewhere else and preach the gospel. Something's wrong with that picture. I'm not saying don't go somewhere else and preach the gospel. I'm saying, how can you expect that God's going to call you to do anything when you're not doing anything at all with what he gave you here and now? The place where you are. You're in America right now. The most prosperous country I can imagine. You have more opportunity to succeed here than anywhere else in the world. And if you're not leveraging some of that opportunity, if you're sitting around thinking, well, I will one day go and do something great for the Lord, but you're not doing anything with what you have right now, don't expect that the Lord's going to send you or that you're going to be successful if you try. Amen. You really need to work with what God's given you. If you're a shepherd, don't lose so many sheep. Go out and find the ones that are lost. If you're a carpenter, in fact, Jesus gives this illustration several ways. He talks one time about a woman who loses a coin. What does she have? She has a coin, and it's lost. She has a broom, and she has enough energy to move all the furniture out of the house and sweep that thing clean till she finds the coin. And then she rejoices over finding that coin. Why? It was the job she had to do then. It was important, and she did that job. Right now in the life of this vanity and all the waste and stupidity of this world, and it is increasingly silly every day, isn't it? Just watch the news. Twitter made this world stupid, didn't it? I don't know how reducing communication to 140 characters made the world so dumb, but it sure had a good effect on it, didn't it? And you just look at what's happening in the world and you think this world gets sillier every day that goes along. There used to be a veneer of value over top of the vanity. But the veneer of value is starting to wear really thin in this world and it looks more vain every day. And you're sitting in a place where you have opportunity. Do you know what you could do for the Lord with the resources you have right now? Amen. Right where you are. The people you could visit. The gospel that you could publish online. You spend more time on Facebook saying dumb, worthless, vain things. Amen. When there are people out there going to hell in your friend circle on Facebook. And you haven't given them the gospel. You are wasting a resource that God has put into your hand. And he gives the shepherd as an illustration of somebody who doesn't. So, there's another one. Let's take a look at this one. Look back in 1 Kings chapter 8. So, the shepherd does everything he can with what he's got right now. 1 Kings chapter 8. Beginning in verse 15, we'll read down through verse 19. 8:15. And he, that we're talking about Solomon here, verse 12, Solomon, then spake Solomon, and so we're in verse 15. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and hath with his hand fulfilled it, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build an house, that my name might be therein. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in thine heart, or in the heart of David my father, to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth of thy loins, he shall build the house unto my name. And so, there's a piece of the story here that Solomon's not going into great detail on, but I think you know it, so I'm just going to cover it real quick. When God told David, I'm not going to let you do that. I will not let you build a house to me because of what you've done in your life. I don't want that testimony mixed with mine. You're a bloody man. I don't want you building my house. David said, fine, I won't build it. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll draft the plans, and I'll lay up the material, and I'll do everything except build it. So that when my son comes on the scene, all he's got to do is pick up the plans, hand them to the workmen, and say, go to work, guys, and it's all ready. David did everything the Lord would permit him to do.
Amen.
The shepherd did everything he could do. David did everything God would let him do. I wonder what would happen if you tried tomorrow. Start out and say, I'm going to test the limits of what God will let me do. I'm going to put God to the test and say, how far will you let me go, God? What will you let me do? Here's my suspicion. You are nowhere near. My suspicion is we are nowhere near God saying, I'm not going to let you go any further than that. We're afraid it's like right next to us, right? Like God's going to say, oh, you're too dirty, you're too whatever. Can't let you do that. But my suspicion is we're probably not near that. That there's a lot out there that we could do if we just decided to go do it.
Amen.
But we don't. Because I'm so glad Wesley's not here tonight. Because it reminds me of a teenage boy, right? Like work is an interruption to my life. Isn't that true? Picking up my socks off the floor means getting up out of my chair. Oh, I'm going to let you know how bad this is. Oh, fine. There it is. Come on. You got more energy in your little finger than I have in my whole body. And more strength to boot. Quit being so lazy and get to work. But there's this little voice in my shoulder that's saying, yeah, Mike. How much of the limit have you tested of what God's willing to let you do? What if He's willing to let you be His mouthpiece to a lost world to save thousands? What if you didn't believe that? And you thought, I don't think so, not me. Wouldn't it be a shame to get there and find out, you know, I had a whole lot of cool things that you could have done. You should have tried it. So the shepherd does everything. David does everything the Lord will let him do. Mark 14. Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. Beginning of verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he sat at meat. And there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. My mother had this saying. She said, if you don't put your hand to the work, put it to your mouth.
Amen.
I always thought that was a really good saying.
Yeah.
If you don't like the way the thing was painted, shut up.
Amen.
Or paint it.
Amen.
If you don't like the way the thing was cleaned, shut up or clean it. If you don't like the way the work is getting done, get your hands in there and do the work. If you think you can do it better, go do it.
Amen.
Quit belly aching about it. Quit pontificating about it. And go do something. God gave you hands for a reason. And gave you eyes to see the work that needed to be done. And gave you a heart that said there's a right way to do it. Good. Put it to purpose. And go do it that way.
Amen.
If you think, well, I think they missionaries could do a better job of it than what they are doing right now. Woo, you ought to be careful about that. God might voluntold you. Worse yet, you might get there and find out He wanted you to and you didn't. So, He said, just leave her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor always, or with you always, and whatsoever ye will, ye may do them, or whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But ye have not me not always. Verse 8, she hath done what she could. I love that thing. I love that. Because, look, the shepherd does everything. David did everything God would let him. She did everything she could. Maybe you look at it and say, I don't know that I could do everything the shepherd did. I mean, I got so much going in my life and I've got so many commitments. I'm not sure I could just leave all those things while I go out into the world and win souls. I don't know that I could leave all that unattended. Okay, maybe you can't. But you can do something.
Amen.
Maybe she couldn't undo a whole lot of things in the world. She didn't have a good reputation. Everybody knew her to be a bad woman. She didn't have a lot, but she had something, and there was something she could do that nobody else seemed to notice needed to be done. She seemed to know that he was going to be put to death and that his body would somehow need to be anointed. She seemed to have enough faith to see it and then go and anoint him with it, even though that was the only thing she could do. She did what she could.
Amen.
Say, yeah, but it was like a week too early. If she'd waited a week, she could have gotten there in the tomb and anointed the body. No, you don't understand. The body wasn't in the tomb when they got there. She was the one who had enough faith to do it right. She did it early, anticipating what she knew was coming, and that she was anointing a living Lord, not a dead one. She did what she could. Have you done what you could do? Now, it's one thing to be able to go before the Lord on that day and say, okay, I didn't hear your voice clearly. And I didn't know exactly what you wanted me to do. I don't think that's going to be a very good excuse, by the way. You might think you're going to use that one on that day, but on that day you're going to figure out that is not a very good excuse. But let's say you use that excuse. It's another thing entirely when he says, I put it right in front of you. It was right there. Like you tripped over it twice. Like if it was a snake, you know. And you didn't even do that. Boy, what a shame that'd be, huh? Get there. I didn't show that to everybody. I showed it to you. I didn't give everybody that thing. I gave it to you. What a terrible thing that'd be. She did what she could. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. The shepherd does everything. David did what he could, what the Lord would allow him to do. This woman did everything that God gave her the power to do. Matthew chapter 25. I'll get there in a second. Matthew chapter 25. Looking down in verse 24. Then he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there hast that is thine. In other words, here you go. There it is. Same one. Exactly. Serial number is the same on the front of the bill. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Now, I think there's a little tiny piece of history that you got to know here. Under the law, they were not supposed to extract usury. And here God is looking at him saying, you could have at least done what the world acknowledges. Even if you didn't do what I acknowledge, you could have at least been wise in this world for a little while. I would have gotten something out of it. Here's a guy who didn't even do what he could have done in the world. Even if he didn't have godly wisdom, even if all he had was a view of this world. You know, Jesus said in one place, the children of this world are in their day wiser than the children of light. He tells them, even if you'd just done something, if you'd have done it badly, if you'd have done it with no confidence at all, if you had done it even not wisely, even if you had done it that way, you would have done something with it. You did nothing with what I gave you. Boy, what an accusation. You want to hear that when you stand before the Lord? You know what? I would rather him say, boy, you could have been a whole lot smarter. You bumbled through most of what you did down there, and you were not very bright. I'd rather have him say that than have him say, you wasted it. Now, don't get me wrong. I would much rather him say, you used the wisdom that I gave you. You sought wisdom, intermingled with it, and you behaved yourself wisely in the world. You invested wisely, and you brought me a great return, and I'm proud of you. I would much rather that, but I at least don't want to hear you wasted it.
Amen.
He gave you something at hand. It isn't what you like. Did you ever notice that God has this annoying habit of giving you what you need rather than what you think you want? Have you ever noticed that annoying habit he has? Right? That's why do you think he says back there, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy vanity? And then he tells you, love your wife whether you want to or not. Why do you think that is? Because that woman's going to test you. And there's going to be some days you think you don't like her very much. And he's still going to tell you, no, you love her anyway.
Amen.
And live joyfully with her. Don't let her know that you aren't happy. Because that's not the same thing as living joyfully. Right? Living joyfully is like this. Just getting along with your wife is like this. He's saying, don't do this. Do this.
Amen.
Eat your food with joy. Drink your wine with a merry heart. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy vanity, because there's a lot of them. Don't waste the woman I gave you.
Amen.
Don't waste the food I gave you. Don't waste the opportunity to be happy that I gave you.
Amen.
Even if you don't like the thing I gave you to do, do it with all your might anyhow. You tell the kid, mow the lawn. And you walk back out there and you think, I think there was an accident on my front yard. I feel like part of the lawnmower went there and part of it went there, but it didn't go evenly anywhere. How does that work? Because the wheels don't change height as they go across the grass. You understand? You're thinking, if you just pay attention to where you're walking, instead of what you're hearing in your ears over your iPod right now, you know, if you just pay a little attention to it, the yard would look pretty good. And you understand the Lord is telling you, I gave you a job. You may or may not like it, but I didn't ask your opinion. I didn't ask your opinion because I'm a good father. A good father isn't going to sit down and say, what would you prefer to do in life, son? He's going to say, I'm going to constrain you to do some valuable things in this life. Get out and do them. And don't give me this half-hearted thing. Get out and do them with all your heart. One last verse I want to look at. It's in the book of Job, chapter 26. Job, chapter 26. I have this title over this chapter in my other Bible. It says, "Oh yeah, what have you done?" That's my title on this chapter. Because that's exactly what Job is saying here, right? Job 26. But Job answered and said, "How hast thou helped him that was without power? How savest thou the arm that hath no strength? How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? How hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? To whom hast thou uttered words, and whose spirit came from thee?" Boy, talk about a set of loaded questions. Listen to what he's asking you. When you went out and did something, how did you do it? Not did you do it, how did you do it? In Ecclesiastes, he says, do it with all your might. You and I know the difference. And Job is pinning down his friends here, and he's putting them in a place and saying, you tell me, okay, you're saying all this about me? I want to know, how did you do that? What did you do with what God gave you, and how did you do it? And I want to leave you with that question tonight. I want to leave it with you because I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you to rethink absolutely every part of your life. The money you spend on your coffee, the car you drive, what you do on Saturday night, what you do on Sunday afternoon, the TV you watch, the media you consume, what you do on Facebook, how much time you spend doing things, because God has put some things into our hands tonight. Amen. And He expects us to do something with all our heart. Thank you very much.
Amen. Amen.